Bibles this morning to Psalm, the 53rd Psalm, as you stand this morning. Psalm 53. Pastor Jerry will be coming back tomorrow, leaving First Lady up there for a few days, as you can imagine. So just pray for their travel and their safety, and we just rejoice with them. Amen. Psalm 53. 2017 coming to a close. We've had everything from the inauguration of a new president. We've seen North Korea try to threaten us with nuclear weapons. We've seen people tear down Confederate monuments. We've had Hurricane Harvey. And I think probably the most unique thing of 2017 was the eclipse. How many of you tried to watch the eclipse? Come on, be honest with you. Well, let me tell you something. You may be facing an eclipse in your soul today. But I want us to end this message with the sun bright and looking up, because God has some amazing things for us in 2018. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject 2018, not if, but when. Psalm 53, read the entire psalm with me. If you're there, say amen. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Verse 3. Every one of them has gone back. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? And another translation is, have they got any sense? And when I see some of them, I think they don't have any sense. Come on. They eat up my people as they eat bread. They've not called upon God. Verse 5. They were in great fear where there was no fear. For God hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame because God hath despised them. Verse 6. Out loud. Everybody read it. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When God bringeth back the captivity of his people, woo, Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Father, thank you for the anointing to preach your word. Let it go forth in power. We'll give you praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and tell somebody that you're going to be blessed in 2018. You're going to be blessed. Amen. You're going to be blessed in 2018. Is it just me or do you feel the Lord in this house this morning? That was a powerful song, Brother Ray, right in line with the message. You know, this psalm starts out by talking about the fool. If you go to verse 1 again, guys, Psalm 53 and 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And you know, in other words, that scripture is telling us that a fool says there's no God. And you know, that makes sense, because to deny that there is no God, to come up and say there's no God, is like this. It's like to say we have computers, but no Bill Gates. It's like to say we have cars, but no Henry Ford. It's like saying we have electricity, but no Ben Franklin. It's like saying we have airplanes, but there was never any Wright brothers. This is modern. It's like saying we had Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, and no George Lucas. I mean, to say that we have everything that we see and feel and hear, and to say that nothing times nothing equals everything. I tell you, you might have a PhD, but the Bible says, and I agree, that's just plain foolish. Amen. Listen. The ultimate fact is creation, and to deny the ultimate fact is to become the ultimate fool. And I want you to know something this morning in 2017 and 2018 and eternity past and eternity to come, there is a God. His name is the Lord God Almighty. And I want you to know, not only is there a God, but he's in the house this morning. I feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this house. I mean, come on and do it right if you're going to clap. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there is a God. But now, as you read this psalm, he addresses the fool that outright says there's no God. But if you read kind of in between the lines, he shifts not so much from the fool, he shifts to the foolish who act as if there's no God. And in other words, a fool says there is no God, but the foolish, sometimes people can believe in God, but act like he don't exist. And things get tough. Things get rough. Things don't go your way. You start acting like and talking like, even though you say you believe in God, yet your actions and your talk, when you say, well, I'll never make it through. Well, I don't know how, well, I'm going to do this. What you're doing is being foolish. Even though you're not saying there's no God, in a sense, you're acting like there is no God. Kind of reminds me of Job's wife. You know, Job's wife in Job chapter 2, guys, and verse 9. Dost thou still retain? This is Job's wife to Job when he's been going through some tough times. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? And verse 10 of chapter 2, Job says, but you speak as one of the foolish women. I mean, going through some tough times, she's talking like and acting like there is no God. Maybe like David, and go to 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 27 and verse 1. Listen to what David said. David said in his heart, Now, I'm going to read this kind of like they did on Hee Haw, the old country comedy show. And I'm going to read this kind of like it should be read. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Pull out a tissue. Don't you feel so sorry for him? There is nothing better for me. Look at that. There is nothing but I listen to some of y'all come to Best Buy, talk to me. I'll see you at Cracker Barrel or whatever. And instead of giving me a testimony of God overcoming, you're all the time moaning, brother. There's just nothing better for me. Let me tell you something. There is something better for you. You got to trust him. You got to praise him. You got to believe him. I wish somebody act like there is a God and he's working. Come on and praise him this morning. But go to verse 6. Go to verse 6 because this, and by the way, I'm not criticizing David and I'm not criticizing you and I'm not criticizing Job's wife because there's been a few times in 2017 where I probably acted like and got to moaning and groaning about, whoa, poor pitiful me. But look at verse 6 of Psalm 53. Are you there? Say amen. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. Notice the next two words. It says, say it with me. When God brings back the captive. When God does it. Now that's where we got to be. He didn't say, oh, that things would be different. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come if God ever gets. That ain't what he said. He didn't say, if God were going to do it. What did he say, church? And I want you to know that that's where we need to be. Not if God does it, but when God does it. Say it with me. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. Tell somebody. Not if, but when. In other words, I know whom I have believed. I know it's going to happen. I know God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm not guessing. I'm not wishful thinking. It's not a matter of if. Praise God, in 2018, it's a matter of when the breakthrough comes, when the blessing comes, when the answer to prayer comes. Not a matter of if God's going to turn it around, but when he's going to turn it around. And I don't know about you, but that's a good place to shout hallelujah this morning. Not if, but when. There is something better for me. I'm not going to curse God and die. It's not going to stay like this forever. Concerning his promises, concerning my finances, concerning my promotion, concerning this church, it's not a matter of if, but when. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, let me go down and give you a few things. Number one, concerning the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. It's not a matter of if, but when. Amen. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Now, I told you that we might not get through 2017 before the rapture. Amen. I believe if we might not get through this service, the Lord might take his saints home. Oh, my goodness, don't get me stirred up this morning and don't come telling me, well, there's no such thing as the rapture. We got to go through the tribulation. You go on through it if you want to, brother. The Bible says at that we shall be, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says that we are not appointed unto wrath. Praise God, the tribulation is not for me. Now, we may go through some troubles, and we may go through some persecutions, and a lot of Christians in the world are being persecuted. They can't worship like we're worshiping. And I know we sleep in every now and then on Sundays, and I just don't feel like going. But there are some people today, they actually would die if they went to church. And there's some of you that you know, you just can't get out, hit the alarm clock and get out of bed. And that includes me sometimes. And I'm the preacher. Help me, praise God. But let me tell you something. My goodness, friend, the Lord is going to take us out before the Antichrist comes. I'm here to tell you concerning the coming of the Lord. Don't let some preacher on TBN tell you it ain't going to happen. Brother, it's going to happen. The Lord, it's not a matter of if, but when. Stay here if you want to. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, you rapture people, you're not evangelistic. Well, that's somebody else's fault. I'm still winning souls. In fact, I've made up my mind. I'm going to order me some tracts. Anybody know what a tract is? It's a little piece of paper that says something to the effect of, you're going to hell, but here's the answer. Jesus is the answer. It gets it to you in about three paragraphs. And I got to thinking about that the other day. I'm going to start handing out tracts. On the job, at Cracker Barrel, people I see, and I'm just like, here, just take the. Now, you got to get the right kind of track. Don't get a track that says, where will you be when you die? They done checked out. They don't care about that. But you better find something to hook them, amen, and get a good track. But why? Because I am evangelistic, because I know that any moment the Lord is coming back. It's not a matter of if, but when. 2 Peter 3 and 4. Says, there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? We are technologically ready for the coming of the Lord. Technologically, we are ready. Chips, iPhones, computers, the World Wide Web. We're economically ready. Debit cards, cashless society, barcodes. Now chips under the skin is now a reality. We're politically ready. Governments are growing. You have less and less power to the people, more and more power to the government. We're ecologically ready. Earthquakes, tsunamis. We're religiously ready. The Muslims are praying now for the 12th Imam. And there's an ecumenical spirit that all religions are one. And the only people they leave out are those who believe in the blood-washed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're kind of left out of that crowd. Friend, all religions are not one. There is only one true, and it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus Christ, the only way. It's not multiple choice. It is one. It is yes or no, saved or lost. There's only one way. Can I get a witness out there? Reminds me of a man. He was sleeping one night, and it was so quiet, and everybody had a bunch of kids, you know, back in the old days, and the grandfather clock started donging. And instead of it donging 12 times at midnight, it got broke and it donged 17 times. It just went on and on 17 times. And the man in the house, concerned about his family, he didn't half know what was going on. He got up out of bed and ran through the house and said, get up, get up. It's later than it's ever been. Turn around and tell somebody it's later than it's ever been. The Sanhedrin has been reconvened. Did you know that? They have the 12 stones for the high priest. They have found the unique blue dye that is necessary for the robes of the high priest. Everything is getting ready. Now listen, like him or not, I'm not Democrat, Republican. Like him or not, President Trump says Jerusalem is the capital. It is paving the way for the coming temple. It's all according to plan. Get ready. I'm getting ready. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of if, but when. I might be ringing out somebody at Best Buy selling a TV 1 minute and shouting the streets of glory, sailing through the air the next minute, because this concerning his coming, it's not a matter of if, but when. Give him a hand of praise. He's here this morning. Amen. Number two, concerning death. Now, you'll quit shouting now, but the truth of the matter is, concerning death, it's not a matter of if, but when. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You've got an appointment. I pray it is not in 2017 or 2018. I prayed it for all of us. That God has a plan for long life. But I also know the facts of the reality that some of us here this morning, may not be here the end of 2018. I don't understand why God calls his children home early. I don't understand car accidents, fires, and storms and floods. And I don't understand a man walking into a church, pulling out a gun, and killing God's people. Let me tell you something. You are not promised tomorrow. We are living, but we're dying. But we're dying in order to live to God forever and ever. And I want to impress upon you, I don't care how young you are. We just this past year in our church, Eric is not here this morning, but in one day he lost his wife, he lost his daughter and granddaughter, three in one tragic rainy Friday. In all my years of pastoring, I've never had that to happen. I was in the break room. The pastor sent me a text, said, I must speak with you now. I went off of the floor, got into the break room. He told me, and I just collapsed into a chair. But listen, I know we were shouting a minute ago, but I'm getting to the good part here. But let me impress upon you, if you're not ready to meet Jesus, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you may not have 5, 10, 15, 30, 40 years. You may only have a matter of weeks or months. We do not know the day that we have that appointment. It's not a matter of if, but when. So here's the thing this morning. As you end 2017, if you're not ready to die, then you're really not ready to really live. But God has provided salvation, and he's a provided assurance. Now, I believe the Lord has spoken to me and many of you and several others. He is going to bless us with long life. That's a promise of Psalm 91. I claim that, proclaim that, because the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And you can claim that covenant promise. But I'm here to tell you today, if I don't make it past sundown, I'll lay my head in the grave. But praise God, I'll be in the presence of the King of Kings. And you can drop the ball in New York City if you want to. Nothing wrong with New York City. Amen. But praise God, I'll be with the saints, and there'll be some fireworks and some celebration when we gather around the throne. Death ain't no big deal if you know Jesus. And by the way, Jesus said, look at John chapter 5, verse 21. John chapter 5, verse 28. I'm sorry. John chapter 5, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Somebody say, not if, but when. But if you're in the grave, maybe you buried some loved ones this year. Maybe you shed some tears. Maybe a child like we saw here. Maybe a grandmother. Maybe a father. But listen, they that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29, and they shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And by the way, it doesn't mean they that have done good, like I gave money, I'm a good person, look at me. No, they that have that good there means you fell on your knees, and the greatest good you can do is realize your human sinfulness, and Jesus Christ saves your soul. Those that are saved shall hear a voice. Hallelujah. You can lay me in the casket. You can put the sod over my casket. But brother and sister, I'm not going to stay there. There's coming a great getting up morning, and I'm not going to lay in that grave forever, because it's not a matter of if but when. Resurrection morning is coming, and I'm going to be forever with the Lord. Can you say amen this morning? If a man die, shall he live again? Job 14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change cometh. You may say that, well, I got plenty of time. I'm going to live a long time. Amelia Lynch was walking down the streets of New York City when a flower pot fell off a ledge, in an upper eighth floor ledge. As she was walking down the street of New York City, the flower pot fell off because it had been struck by a freak streak of lightning. And she's walking, the lightning hits the flower pot crashes on her head. She's walking 1 minute, the next minute gone. We do not know, not a matter of if, but when. Concerning the coming of the Lord, not a matter of if, but when. Say amen. Concerning death itself, say not if, but when. I thought you'd be quiet on that point, so I just thought I'd go ahead and get that out of the way, okay? But it's the truth. We got to think about it. But you say, Brother Ricky, what about now? What about now? Because I need something now. I'm facing some doctor's things now, some diagnosis. I've got some debts that have come up that I can't pay. I've got some relationship. My spouse is cheating on me. I discovered my wife is involved in internet chat rooms with other people. Brother Ricky, I know I'm going to die one day. I know the Lord's going to save me. I know He's coming back. But Brother Ricky, I need some help right now. I'm glad you said that, because I want you to know point number three concerning the promises of God. It's not a matter of if, but when. You just hang on. You just believe Him. You just stay faithful, because no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through, He's going to bring you through. It's not a matter of if, but when. Can you say amen? Promises. Have you been promised some things? I know the government promises a big tax refund. I hope we get it. Everybody said amen. And yes, you should tithe on it. And everybody said amen. You got kind of quiet there. Look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. If you're there, say amen. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not, come on, say it. Make it good. Make it good. Turn around and tell somebody, not if, but when. He gonna make it good. He said He'll bless you. He said He'll make a way. He said He'll save that lost child. He said, I know you went through bankruptcy, but I'm telling you, He will open up the windows of heaven. I said He'll make it good. God doesn't owe you anything, but He delights to give you all things. Amen. Somebody say amen now. Well, you need a healing in your body. He's going to make it good. I said, if you need a healing in your body, He's going to make it good. Well, you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? God had promised them a child. Now here's the deal. Abraham was 75 and Sarah was 65. And they waited year after year, until finally Abraham and Sarah had quit believing it was going to happen. The Bible says that when Abraham was 99 years old and Sarah was 89 years old, God gave them a personal visit. And said that in 1 year, somebody say 1 year. He told Sarah in 1 year, or he told Abraham, your wife Sarah is going to have a child. Now Sarah was in the kitchen eavesdropping. Now you ladies know what I'm talking about, don't you? And when she heard her name, she's like, these strange visitors who happen to be the Lord, incarnation of the Lord, that I ain't gonna go through all that right now, the theology of that, but when she heard that at 89 she was going to have a baby in 1 year, you know, when she heard that, she went Now I'm gonna tell you, ladies, if you're 89 years old and the Lord says you're going to have a baby, you might laugh right too, wouldn't you? In fact, some of you might cry. Oh no, I don't want that. Some of you 59. Oh, no, not me. No more babies. Come on. But I'm here to tell you. Look, go to Genesis, Derek. Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. But let me tell you, this 89-year-old woman never had a baby. It's impossible to have a baby. Gave up hope on having a baby. And look at what the Lord said. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee to the time of life. Now, I'm not here to try to tell you 80-year-old ladies that you're going to have children. That's not really the point that I'm making here. The point I'm making here is this. It's not an if, but when God's going to bring that promise to pass. the time is appointed. You got to just believe Him. You got to just praise Him. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. You think your child won't ever get off drugs? I said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You think God can't heal cancer? I said, is anything too hard for the Lord? God can't give me the job that I need so that I can be at church and I can give faithfully. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You get ready. If He's promised to heal, deliver, if He's promised to, some of you are single and you're praying for a spouse and you feel like you're going to be an old maid or an old man. Listen, God can bring that person this year. The Bible says that He has thoughts about you. He's thinking. He knows the steps. You be faithful to Him. You trust Him. You put God first. And I promise you, it's not a matter of if, but when. He said, I will supply all your need. Not some of your need, but all of your need according to His riches and glory. Somebody say amen this morning. And I want to give this to you. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 28. And then I'm going to start bringing the plane down here. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, if you're there, say amen. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But the word I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. You have waited and waited. You have wondered and wondered. God has promised, and when you gave up, He promised again. It looks all hopeless, all impossible, but I'm here to tell you through a prophetic anointing this morning, He said there's no longer any delay. You get ready. 2018, it's not a matter of if, but when. God's going to show up and do it just like He said. Why don't you stand this morning, as the pastor says, and give Him a standing ovation, because it is a matter not of if, but when. Somebody say glory. Hallelujah. I said glory. I said hallelujah. Not if, but when. Now high five somebody and tell them not if, but when. Amen. Come on. High five them right there. Make sure you don't hit their face. I'm just kidding. Amen. Number four, concerning your harvest. Your harvest. Everybody say the word harvest. Harvest. Now, I got a question. To get a harvest, you've got to do what first, Brother Elam? Now, have you sown anything in 2018? Don't raise your hand, because I'm just asking, raise your hand now, but I'm talking about for the next question I'm getting ready to ask, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you do, I don't mind, but you don't have to. But has anybody given at least a dollar to God last year in 2017? You don't have to raise your hand, just nod your head or something like that. If you've sown some seed, amen. Well, guess what? When you sow a seed, guess what you're going to get? Harvest. That's right. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. I want to challenge you in 2018 to step on up and trust God with your finances. All right, tap someone on the shoulder. Everybody just, nobody amen. I'm just kidding. I just want you to trust God with Him. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, my wife stopped working back in September. Her job came to a close. And I told her, I said, we will not make it through October. We get a small stipend from this church. We get a salary from Best Buy, which is a nice salary, but it's not... It could be better. And all of everybody working out there knows it can be better. Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God. But the point is, I just didn't think we could make it. And I got to doing my finances, and we're paying our tithes. Come October, I had $1,000 more. And my wife wouldn't work a day in October. I said, well, glory to God. Then I did my finances for November. Had another $1,000. I'm like, praise God, glory. And my wife's like, I won't ever go back to work now. Not if, but when. My wife's over there going like, she's getting a Holy Ghost blessing back there. I'm telling you, praise God. December, Christmas, got to buy Christmas presents. Praise God, everybody on the Christmas list got something, amen, and still had $1,000. I'm telling you, if I was not a tither, if I didn't trust God, if I didn't believe Him, I don't know that I would have made it. But just so happened in October, I had some things to come in that weren't expected. November, I preached a revival at a church that I had been planning for over a year, and I thought I was going to get a little bitty offering. They gave me a little bit bigger offering, and just hearing the folks, I want you to get excited. If you sow, it's coming back. Harvest time, it's not a matter of if, but when. Trust Him for your job. Trust Him for your finances. Don't shirk back. Don't hold back. Don't think it's just preachers trying to talk. No, sir. It's the Lord saying, I've got a blessing with your name on it. Somebody say amen this morning. Now, I know when it comes to harvest, sometimes it takes a little time. Amen. You don't sow the seed today and get it next Thursday. Can I get a witness? But my harvest came in this year, and I needed it, and it was right on time. And I don't know what God, Lord, are you sure you want me to share that? All right, I'll share it. So I'll go ahead and share it. So the pastor at our Christmas party back at Something Different, he gave the devotion, and I was just sitting there. I was listening to the pastor. It was beautiful. We had a good crowd, and everybody looked so pretty and loving the Christmas celebration. And the pastor was talking about the three things of Christmas and the gifts that we receive. And the Lord just whispered to my spirit. He said, I'm going to prosper you in 2018. I mean, I just felt the Lord. He just spoke that into my spirit. He said, I'm going to prosper you in 2018. Well, now you can fall asleep, but that was good to me. And I believe He's going to prosper some of you as well. The Bible says that, beloved, I would that you prosper and be in. Now, I know these televangelists that drive have multi-million dollar jets and have 10, 15 houses. I know that they have spoiled the doctrine of prosperity. I know they put a bad name on it. But I'm not talking about a televangelist that takes money from widows. I'm talking about the Word of God. John said it, not Benny Hinn and not Joel Osteen. John said, the Apostle John said, beloved, I would that thou prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Well, glory to God. It's not a matter of if, but when. I'm ready. God, are you ready for God to pour out His blessing? It's harvest time. You will reap what you sow. Give Him a mighty hand of praise. And not only finances, but you know what? I have sown love this year to people who didn't deserve it. I've sown forgiveness to some people that wronged me. Did you know you can sow forgiveness? And guess what you're going to reap? When you sow compassion, guess what you're going to reap? When you sow grace, guess what you're going to get? Amen. Tommy Barnett said, sow your greatest need. Well, I don't have any friends. Why don't you make some friends? Can I get a witness out there? Well, I go to work and nobody talks to me. Probably because you hadn't talked to them. You take the initiative. You open the door. You be a blessing. You so good. You so forgiveness. When somebody gets aggravation, gets on your nerves, when somebody does something they're not supposed to do, you just hold your peace. Pray for them. Love them. Sow the love of God, and you'll reap the power of God and influence to win them to God. Somebody say amen. I got to come to a close. And then finally, number five. And concerning this church. Hey, you know what church you're in this morning? Somebody tell me what church you're in this morning. I love that. Who said that? Sister Denny, stand up and tell them where you're at this morning. That's right. Amen. And she came back this past year, and more's coming back. More. There's more for Westmoreland. I know we've been through some tough times. I know we've been through some stormy. Listen, all churches have the devil fights all churches. He's fought our church. But I'm going to tell the devil, get your hands off of God's property. We got a man of God that's our pastor. He's prayed for 21 years. The hand of favor is on this place. And God has something great yet to come. And I'll hear here to tell you, Westmoreland, it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't you bail out just yet. You get planted right here and you watch God pour out His blessing and pour out His favor, and you're going to see souls saved, lives changed, this place filled many times over with the healing power of God and with sinners running to the altar. Well, am I just preaching that? Does anybody want that? Not if, but when. Somebody say amen this morning. Well, the book of Haggai says the glory of the latter house will be greater than that of the former house. Now, the television evangelist didn't say that. Prophet Haggai said that. The glory of the latter house. Isaiah 54, and I'm trying to come to a close. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you that did not travail with child. For more of the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife. Look at verse 2, Isaiah 50. Enlarge the place of your tent. Do you know what that means? That means build bigger. Expand. Do more. More. You ever heard that word? West, more. And look, pray more. Love more. Serve more. Some of you have attended very faithfully, but you've not got into a place of serving. Why don't you take the next step in 2018 and say, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Jerry, here's my hands. I'm limited on my time. I may not do all that I'd like to do, but I'll help you do something. Do you know something is better than nothing? Let's take the next step, because there is more for Westmoreland. He said, enlarge, expand, get ready, make room. Lengthen the cord. Strengthen thy stakes. For you, now here you go, verse 3. You're going to break forth. And I believe Westmoreland is going to, I believe before your very eyes, you're going to see visions and prophecies come to pass. Well, Brother Ricky, we've this, blah, blah, blah. Quit the naysaying. Quit the doubting. Don't be foolish and say there's nothing better for us. Let me tell you, there's something better. It's great now, but there's even something better on the way. Can you say amen? Well, I believe it when I see it. Well, don't be like the man in the Old Testament that said, you know, if God should open the windows of heaven, it wouldn't happen. And he got trampled and died and didn't see it. Don't be like, don't kill your expectation. Believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Believe that God is going to. And you know what? When we get new people, there's new challenges. We're going to need some more teachers. We got Royal Ranger for. We got missionary. We got a lot going on. And some of you were working very diligently in the church. Now listen. And you kind of backed away. Well, I'm going through some stuff. I just don't blah, 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 blah. Hey, that's okay. Now let's get back in it. Amen. Because I'll tell you something. When you have a place to serve, and you know Wednesday night I got to teach these girls, or Wednesday night I got to teach these boys, or Sunday morning I got to be on the praise team or out in the usher. When you know you got to be here, guess what? It'll keep you from sleeping in. Can I get a witness? Oh, my goodness. Serve. Listen, do you think I go to Best Buy because I feel like it? Man, come that clock hits in the morning, I'm like, man, the last thing I want to do is crawl out under that electric blanket. Now the cat gets cold. The cat's over there sleeping on the pillow. He's comfortable. My wife's comfortable. Remember, I told you she wasn't working. Don't you feel sorry for me? And I got to get out of that bed. And I got to go sell a 4K TV. Listen, I don't feel like it. But listen, it's an obligation. And it's a blessing. My health insurance is paid. I got a raise for 2018. Oh, praise God. It's worth serving and being responsible. Do something for Jesus. Give him all you got. It's not a matter. Well, God, I'm going to shout this morning. It's not a matter of if, but when. Listen, very closely. Brother Clark, let's pretend we're closing. Come on up, my brother. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish this sermon. Not if, but when, right? I'll let you know when to start, brother. Okay. I've heard this phrase, and I know what people are saying. Please hear my heart this morning. People say, well, we need to get out of the book of Numbers and get into the book of Acts. I've heard that. Have you heard people say that? Well, let's get out of the book of Numbers and let's get into the book of Acts. As if Numbers is a bad thing. Well, what does the book of Acts say about Numbers? Brother Derek, are you with me? Give me a thumbs up. Acts 2:47. You got it? Give me a thumbs up. Read that. Praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord... to the church. Now, Brother Derek, go on to Acts 6 and 7. Are we in the book of Acts? What does Acts 6 and 7 say? And the word of God increased and the of the disciples. I'm getting a... Oh, my goodness. Go to Acts 11 and verse 21. You know how this church will grow? You know how this church will grow? Every one of you sitting here this morning, if you'll be here and you get your crowd in here, we could triple. Amen? And be here every Sunday for 2018. And then more people, when we visitors come in, they're like, man, there's such a thing going on here. Are y'all still with me out there? Amen. Yeah, I know you're ready for Pastor Jerry to get back quick. I know. But let me get you while I got you. Acts chapter 11 and verse 21. Acts 11. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a what? A great, not just a number, Brother Blue. It said a great number. Is this in the book of Acts? Now go to the last one. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. And so were the disciples, Acts 16, 5. And so were the disciples established in the faith. And what? Let me tell you something. Our pastor has been here since 1997. And I believe God has not finished with him and his ministry. But I'm here to tell you, before he finishes his ministry, I believe that he needs to see. And I believe God has for him and for even beyond more people, more for Westmoreland, more souls being saved, more people. Well, just sit there if you want to, but I'm believing, amen, you with me this morning? I'm believing for the Lord, for our pastor, that we're going to increase in numbers, 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 because every number is not a piece of paper we send to Falcon. Every number, if it says we had 172, that means 172 were not at the bar. They were not down there at some event. They were in the house of the Lord hearing the word of God. And I want you to believe with me that we ain't seen nothing yet, and that there's more. Say it with me. There's more for Westmoreland. Say it. There's more for Westmoreland. It's not a matter of if, but when. Now give him another hand of praise tonight or this morning. Concerning your healing, it's not if, but when. Do you need a healing this morning? Concerning your sanctification, it's not a matter of if, but when. Concerning revival in 2018, it's not a matter of if, but when. Concerning restoration, it's not a matter of if, but when. There is, Brother R.L. and Sister Allison, there is for you and me something better. Say amen.
Amen.
Let me close with this and then I'll let you start playing in just a moment. I love this story. But Mark Rutland, he told this in Greensboro, North Carolina. I don't know if Brother Pearson was there for General Conference in 09. But he told this story about a friend who is now old. How that when he was a young man, he was a missionary in Southeast Asia. And he cherished the vision of going to the Himalayas. And he wanted to see Mount Everest. He said, once before I die, I want to see the tallest mountain in the world. He finally got a chance. The chance of a lifetime. He said that the day his plane landed, the problem was that the entire area was engulfed in a massive fog bank. He said by the time he got out of his plane, he said, I couldn't even see the terminal. He told the guide, you know, I'm just going to get back in my plane and go home. I only have one day. I can't see the mountain. This is stupid. The guide said, you know, it's bigger than you think. So he went with the guide on a train and then on a Land Rover. And finally they got out and walked. And he said the whole time he was grumbling and complaining the whole way. This is dumb. Too much fog. He said, let's go back. And finally, as he was holding the guide's coattail and following him up a mountain trail to where there was supposed to be this ideal place where you could get the best vista or the best view of the great mountain. And the whole way he held on to the guide's coattail there. And he said, man, we need to go back. This is dumb. This is crazy. He said, I can't even see my hand in front of my face. The only response the guide said was, it's bigger than you think. And finally, the guide engineered him out onto a ledge. Where he said, there, now look. He said, and he peered through that heavy fog and, And there against the horizon, he thought he could make out one little mountain line higher than the other. He said, I think I see it over there. He said, the guide just laughed. Ha, ha, ha. He came around behind him, took hold of his head, turned him around, put his head up. He said, there, look up there. There it is. And he said, wow, it's bigger than I thought. Stand with me this morning. I'm here to tell you what God wants to do in your life is bigger than you think. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Lord, as we end 2017, we know the enemy's tried to pull us back. We know we've not been all that we need to be. We've struggled. But God, what you've got for us through the fog is bigger than we think. What you've got for Westmoreland Church, what you've got for Pastor Jerry Nelson, what you've got for our staff, what you've got for our deacons and for our members, it's bigger than we think. Would you lift your hands up to heaven through the fog? And I don't know what 2018 holds. I don't know what you went through in 2017, but God's brought you to the precipice. He's brought you, and the ball's going to drop tonight. And if the Lord tarries, He's given us another year to praise Him, to serve Him, to love Him. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I just want to talk very plainly with you this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Young people that are joining us, you as well. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you've never been saved, or if you have strayed away, maybe you've gone back a little bit, or maybe a lot of bit, today is your day. The last Sunday of 2017 is your day to ask Jesus again into your heart. He will forgive you. He loves you. He died for you. If you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe first time, or maybe to come back to the Lord, then in just a few moments, I want you to join us at the altar, and I'll be praying with you. Just ask Him into your heart. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you've got some children that need to be saved, I want you to know it's not a matter of if, but when. And I want you to come and pray for those lost children and believe that in 2018 that they're coming home and they're coming to Westmoreland Church. Our prodigals are coming back. If you've had a doctor's report that troubles you, I want you to come this morning and be healed in the name of Jesus. Your healing is coming, not if, but when. If you need a financial breakthrough, if you're going through some struggles, you don't know how you're going to pay next month's rent or mortgage, I'm here to tell you, you're not going to lose your house. God's going to make a way, not if, but when. Maybe in ministry, you used to minister, you used to be an influence, you used to serve, but you've got discouraged, you've strayed away. But now you want to say, not if, but when, Pastor, I'm going to be here. If that's you, would you step out of your seat? In fact, I want us all, if I didn't hit you, I believe we can all pray that prayer. But step out of your seat and let's close this Sunday morning, the last Sunday in the altar. Bring your children with you. Moms and dads, bring your young people with you. Bring the babies up here. Bring the teenagers up here. Deacons, will you come? Deacons' wives, will you come? Let's believe God for physical healing. Let's believe God for numbers in 2018 to go up. The average attendance to skyrocket, to soar, not because of our efforts, but because the Lord is working at Westmoreland. Come on, everybody, out of your seat. Find a place in this altar. Commit your life back to the Lord. Go all the way with God. This is the appointed time. There is something better for you. You don't have to curse God and die. Oh God, we praise you. Come on and seek His face. Dads, pray over your children. Husbands, pray over your wives. Wives, pray for your husband. If they're not here, pray for your children and your grandchildren. Pray for our pastor and first lady for fresh anointing as they return, for the greatest year of growth that they've ever seen, to blow our minds. We believe you, God. Hallelujah. If you've got a loved one that's sick, call their name out right now. Lord, we believe in divine healing. We believe you're more than able to do it. Just go ahead and sing whatever you're ready. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We'd rather have Jesus.
Jesus than sing either or cold.
I'd rather have the Lord.
I'd rather.
We're going all the way.
His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus.
Come on and seek his face.
This
we're moving on.
Land.
We're moving forward in 2018. Not if, but when.
By his nail.
Oh, sing it.
And to be.
Oh, we bless
the
you.
The king of this domain.
Come on, lift your hands up to the Lord this morning. Oh. Not if, but when. Not if, but when. Hallelujah.
I'd rather have Jesus than anything.
Yes.
This world of hope.
Here's what I want you to do.
Today.
As a symbol. You remember when Neil Armstrong